Now that you were mentioning adaptability, do you think, I know this is a bit different, but like personalized medicine, how does it relate to, you know, targeting specific genes?
Yeah. So say, relating back to our, you know, the MHC topic, basically what you'd want to know before embarking on any personalized medicine attempt for a given autoimmune disease is probably how MHC is playing a role, because you have several MHC genes in this chromosome 6 locus. The probability of you having the same complement of genes as anyone else is very low. You know, maybe, you know, it'd be the same in a twin, identical twin, but in a fraternal twin is slightly different. And so that's where personalized medicine would probably come into play for autoimmune diseases, and that you'd want to tailor your therapy to the individual's given major histocompatibility genes. Because your immune system ends up getting trained according to which MHC gene variants that are there. And so if you're going to design a personalized medicine to restrain an autoimmune response, you'd want to know the MHC that person has to most effectively target the autoimmune response and not have any unwanted effects of your treatment.
So then if it's like so dependent on the gene, would it even be like possible, because there's so many variants probably, right?
Yeah, but that's what we're trying to study in my lab, more or less. You know, so I mentioned this earlier, but the MHC genes and how they interact with the immune system is sort of the specialty of my lab's research. And there's about 100 gene variants for each of the two classes of MHC genes across 99% of the global population. And given how much more effective we're getting at synthesizing and manipulating these genes, I'm confident that, you know, in the coming decade or two, we'll have a much more thorough understanding of the contribution of each of these MHC allele variants, MHC gene variants, as they relate to all manner of diseases.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you. And are there any other particularly exciting innovations in treatments that you find interesting or are looking forward to?
Yeah, so we started with cancer therapy, gotten really good at, you know, in a big, you know, scientific community sense of taking somebody's T cells, and that's a specific branch of cells in your adaptive immune system. Got very good at taking these T cells, manipulating them genetically to attack certain kinds of cells that are characteristic of cancer, and then putting them back into the patient to attack the cancer cells. And so we've gotten really good at this, at doing this for lymphoma and leukemia, and we're starting to get better at this for multiple myeloma and other cancers. But recently what they've done in diseases for which we know there's a specific cell type that's responsible for causing the disease, we're giving these same sort of T cells, the same manipulations as we'd use for cancer, giving them to patients with autoimmune disease. So, for instance, with really severe cases of multiple sclerosis and, you know, this is all very cutting edge. Like, I don't think it's FDA approved. I think it's still in clinical trials, but, they're giving these multiple sclerosis patients where it's known that their B cells, the antibody producing cells of the immune system, are also targeting the central nervous system and causing the multiple sclerosis. And so they're giving patients T cells that specifically kill the B cells and wipe them out. And that ameliorates the symptoms of the multiple sclerosis.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so it's a cell therapy, but it's pretty broad. These patients now are essentially immunosuppressed and are more likely to get other infections as a result. But it really, you know, it's been an effective treatment for multiple sclerosis when there are no other options. And so we're going to see more therapies like that. I know there's examples in diabetes, again, with patients with very severe type 1 diabetes, where they give an antibody therapy that's designed to deplete your T cells just in a very broad manner. And that's also in early stage trials, but yeah, I think they've had some early results published. But so these are relatively broad therapies, whether cell-based or antibody-based, that target large, you know, whole branches of the immune response. I'd like to think that pretty soon we'll come up with better ways of just targeting the pieces of the immune response that are responsible for the disease and not the immune response as a whole. As we start to identify the particular proteins that are causing, say, you know, in multiple sclerosis, there's probably some protein in the Epstein-Barr virus that is tricking the immune system into attacking self. And so perhaps in the future, once we know what that protein is, we can specifically tell the immune system not to attack that protein or proteins similar to it in the nervous system. And so I think therapies like that, you know, aren't too far off. Maybe another 5-10 years, we'll be able to start seriously implementing therapies like that.
Wow. And I've also heard a lot about CRISPR technologies and, like,
right,
they go in and, like, specifically do genetic engineering and try to edit the genes. Do you think, yep, so is this somewhat related to the CRISPR technology?
Yeah, it can be. I think it's still early days in terms of using CRISPR technology and cell-based therapies or autoimmune therapies, in that you use CRISPR to make very specific genetic manipulations in cells, and the therapies that we're using to treat autoimmune disease aren't advanced enough to require that kind of delicate genetic manipulation. Like for the multiple sclerosis therapies that were co-opted from cancer, for that, CRISPR's kind of overkill, because they're just inserting a whole new gene non-specifically into the genome of these T cells to attack the B cells. And for that, you know, we can just use other methods, older methods. You know, you don't need CRISPR to do that. But I think as we start learning more specifically what causes the diseases and the subtleties of the genetics, CRISPR could play an important role.
And is there anything else you would like to share apart from this? This has been super, super informative. Thank you so much.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just excited to see where the field goes and hoping I can contribute in a meaningful way. And that I think MHC and the genetic diversity of MHC has really caused a serious challenge for the field because every individual is so unique. You know, we figured out some of these things in mice simply because we can breed inbred strains such that every mouse is like a twin of itself. And so then you've eliminated the genetic heterogeneity of the population. And so for some of these things, we'd be able to identify antigens more easily or targets of autoimmune responses in mice or that we've been stymied in humans. And so, you know, I'm just hoping to be able to contribute to that research and advance potential future therapies in the field. And of course, that's not possible without, you know, generous, you know, support from whether it's the government, you know, or institutions like UCSF or charities, and particularly even the mice and the human patients who donate their blood or other samples for us to do studies on. I'm grateful for all of that support.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Brunner. Thank you, Peter. It's been super informative, and I've learned a lot from this, and I'm sure our viewers will also learn a lot from this.
Yeah, great. I'm glad to have been hosted by you for this.